Let's go.
Get a picture of that on Skip the Games.
Yeah.
Don't make me fucking laugh.
Let me type in Indiana. Richmond, Indiana.
Is Peggy's picture there?
I am
Peggy's
a man.
Doing self-portraits.
I am a
watch,
man looking
watch me
for,
handle this didgeroo.
Yeah, I'm a man looking for anything with a dirigidoo. It takes me to lemon tuna mouth. Ay, yay, yay.
I can't do it. It's your fault. Start the show.
Oh.
Yeah, you're letting us down, Peggy. We're all up and ready. Now we got to go limp. Thanks.
Who's
thanks
the best
a lot.
Show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Eagle! Showtime!
Pizza, pizza.
It was with my mouth.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show, link, go direct to dlfgs.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 804 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Tonight we are skipping the games with Alan.
Hello, everybody.
Pat.
Ready for action.
Peggy. I guess
you gotta unmute yourself, Peggy.
Yeah. Take that dirigidoo out of your mouth.
That's where it is.
I went on the right screen again. I forgot the push to talk only works on this one screen now for some reason.
Nice. Are you running Windows now too, like Joel?
No.
We have Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Command, rare appearance with bird in hand.
And we have Joe.
Hello again.
Is that bird in hand worth two in the bush?
I think, never mind. I'm just not going to comment. Thank you, Dan.
A bird in the hand is worth two on Skip the Games.
.com.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. You know what?
Some of people are going to go to that by accident.
There was something I forgot to mention last week in the story that I had told, not about how I got the double end Dan, but the one where I was driving around with my family on spring break, and I gassed them in the car pretty bad.
So you don't have any of those pads that I sent you on me?
No.
Wait a second. Dan, again, two fantastic opportunities to title a show, I Gassed My Family or The True Story Behind Double End Dan. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I failed on all accounts. But one thing that I found I was kind of blown away by, and maybe everybody here knows this already, but I had gotten the song Once Bitten, Twice Shy in my head from, who was it? Great White did that in the...
Are you saying you farted the entire 80s. Song?
No, I didn't. So, like, I'm terrible with picking up lyrics.
But he could have.
And I could have, right. I went to look up the lyrics online, and I'm like... It said who it was written by, and I was like, I wonder who's in the Great White Band, right? And I went to look at Great White, and the person who wrote the song wasn't the person in Great White. So, did you know that Once Bitten, Twice Shy is a cover?
No.
It was written and performed by Ian Hunter.
Right. Yep.
I did not know that.
I don't even know who Ian Hunter is.
So I went and you can go on YouTube and see the video, Ian Hunter's Once Bitten, Twice Shy. At first I'm like, this almost sounds like a parody of what the song is, right?
Really?
And then I'm like, but I like it a lot. And so we were listening to the 60s station, and there are so many songs I did not realize that were covers. That, like, Cyndi Lauper's, Girls Just Want to Have Fun is a cover.
Oh, I had no idea on that either.
Soft Cell,
Soft Cell, Tainted Love.
Yeah, Soft Cell, Tainted Love is a cover.
And
you
it's
know,
better than the original.
Quiet Riot's, you know, Come On, Feel the Noise and Mama, We're All Crazy Now.
Yeah, those are all covers.
Covers by, they were, Slade original songs. I'm like, I just did not realize how many songs were, there's a couple others now, I can't, I'm like, we'd hear a song and I'm like, what?
Spoken in the Boys Room?
Yeah, yeah, you're right, that is a cover.
Just a Gigolo is a cover.
Who did the original Just a Gigolo?
It was supposed to be a German officer, if I remember the story correctly, that he was, you know, a military man and, you know, war's over, and it must have been World War I, because it probably wasn't World War II.
I get a lot of Van Halen songs they did were covers, and David Lee Roth on his solo stuff did a lot of covers too.
Are you telling me Panama's a cover? Don't tell me Panama's a cover.
No, I don't think Panama's a cover.
Don't actually, tell me Jump's a cover, because that'll like.
So I didn't know that. This one was really obscure.
And if you tell me Proko Harum, Why Your Shade of Pale is a cover, that's it.
I don't know. But on, I think it was, let me see, was it Special Forces? So Alice Cooper's Special Forces, I think, has a song, no, it's Flush the Fashion, sorry.
Wait, I like, School's Out for the Summer.
Talk Talk was a 60s song. And I was like, I did not know.
All right, what's this got to do with gassing your family?
Oh, nothing. It's just, while I was gassing my family, I was learning new things.
So, all right, Dan, that was the world's worst segue.
There was a lot of...
Other than the segue that killed the owner of the company off the cliff. That is the world's worst segue.
There we go, yeah.
Dan's just in the car listening to the radio, just going, huh, what do you think about that? The whole time he's just ripping ass and the people in the car like dry heaving out the side, and he's just in his own little world just going, oh, I didn't know that was the original.
What were you listening to? Like reruns of Casey Kasem?
No, it was just whatever was on the Sirius XM 60 channel that. Channel 6.
Did it say, do you know who wrote this song? Wouldn't you like to know?
Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah, I got sick of listening to the 80s and the 70s because it was just a bunch of stuff that I've heard repeatedly.
I got to shout out Brad Alexander. He said, can you do a show with no 3D printer and no home automation talk?
Well, as long as Joe doesn't show up.
So, although we do have Alan that might do home automation talk.
I may talk some stuff, but I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
So, hey, just a little important bookkeeping news. I was going to ask Dan to make the announcement because I didn't know whether I was going to be tied up being a daddy, going to school events. Eric Ardini passed. He had, was it a rare form of liver cancer? And it came on quick. And Door-to-Door Geek from podnuts.com is going to be doing a 24-hour marathon starting noon Saturday, running through noon Sunday. There's a GoFundMe for Eric, and let's see. They're trying to raise money. And Door sent me a link. Hold on, let me look up the link.
I mean, wow.
And of course, live TV sucks, so.
That's a bummer. I kind of thought he might have passed, but that went fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And apparently it was one of these things he just didn't want to make a whole big thing of it. Cause Dore told me as soon as he found out, and, you know, he said that, you know, Eric didn't want to make a whole big deal of it. So I was like, whoa. Dore has a short link, or had a short link from Podnuts, but if you look up Eric Ardini, and that's Ardini, and so there's a GoFundMe, and it's GoFundMe.com/help-Eric-Ardini-and-family. But you probably can just look up, you know, Ardini or Eric Ardini and find it. All right, did I kill the show? Was that it?
No, no, I was... Was there more... Wait. So was there more that you were going to add to it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So they have a goal of $100,000, and they're at $7,995. And so Dore's going to be doing a 24-hour marathon, raise-a-thon, whatever-a-thon. I guess it's going to be on the Podnuts YouTube channel. And if anybody can't find it, or, you know, I'm Flying Rich Official on Instagram, or you can go to flyingrich.com and just send me an email, and I'll make sure I send you the link. Because when the YouTube link comes out, if you're doing a live stream, it's unique. You could always go to podnuts.com on YouTube and look it up also.
And that's starting what time on Saturday again?
Noon Eastern on Saturday.
And he's going all the way through till noon on Sunday, right?
Yep, yep. So he's invited some folks to come on with him, and so that's, you know, we're gonna be doing a whole bunch of stuff. So yik yakking, you know, talking tech, whatever. So it may be kind of like you know, New Year's Eve on Hacker Public Radio, so we're gonna have some people come out. So I'm gonna try to be on as much as I can. Sleep is my nemesis, so I do have issues with that.
You can't sleep, or you need to sleep?
Oh no, I have no useful consciousness after 11 p.m. Although I still can fly an airplane. What's that say about pilots? Yeah,
autopilot is your friend.
Most of the planes I flew, you know, only the planes I've owned had autopilot. So let's see. I was mistaken. Right now I am in Jupiter. Tomorrow I'm going to be going to work. It's a Tuesday Thursday week, so I'm going to get up like 5 a.m. to be at work at 8 a.m. to then drive home at 5 p.m. But that puts me in a great opportunity to watch the SpaceX launch tomorrow, because they didn't launch the Falcon Heavy today. Which
they were supposed to, but...
Yep, upper level winds were high, and that can be bad. So, I did see, I don't know which SpaceX launch it was, but it was like 3 in the morning, and I went to the beach here, so I don't know if I'm 150 miles south or just 100 miles south of the launch. I know it's like 150 over the road, so it might be like 100, 110. Straight line, but I was able to see the launch and the boost back from where I was. I couldn't see the drone ship landing, but I saw the launch, the boost back, and the entry burn, and I could see the final stage as it just, you know, I never lost visibility of it. It just kind of faded and got further and further away until it basically disappeared. It was pretty amazing.
Someday I'll get to see a flight.
Good evening.
Oh, what time is it? 9 o'clock. Who had 9 o'clock?
Nobody had 9 o'clock.
All right, Peggy had 8:45, but he
had 8:50.
You had 8:50.
Wait, Wafe drug me to IKEA today to get stuff from my office.
Does that mean you had Swedish meatballs?
I'm not complaining. No, we didn't have time to do that. We went to the mall and ate the food court. I had Chick-fil-A. I had the cheese chicken.
Oh, did Dan? Oh, you didn't say Chick-fil-A.
Dan was closest though.
Gas station chicken farm sandwich. That's Chick-fil-A, right?
And Chick-fil-A is way better than gas station chicken.
Yeah, you know, we had a meeting. I don't want to. I usually don't name the company I work for, but I do work for a company owned by a religious organization. And a vendor came and they brought Chick-fil-A. Oh my gosh, the chicken fingers, they were so good. I was sitting right next to the food. Holy cow. I could have ate the, I wouldn't have stopped eating them if, wow. They were so good.
And Gorkon's going sit stand for his home office. I got a, they didn't have it at IKEA, but I ordered it, a Bekant, or however you say it, sit stand desk with black legs and a blue linoleum top. So the thing I did get, I do have something I got to unload after the show. I got like a file set of drawers and a tabletop that screws into that, and then two legs on the end. So it's kind of like a workspace. It's going to replace the folding table I got in my office now. So I'm probably going to I might even start working on that tonight to get that in there. But eventually, the home office will have enough room for all my stuff, I hope.
Joel's going to unload after the show.
I thought he doubled his bandwidth. I thought he did both during the show.
I do.
How much was the sitting standing disc?
The one I got is $4.49.
Okay. Wow. Okay, see,
You can do a little bit better on that. Yeah, I think you're way too cheap. Well, I could have got
dude, you could have 3D printed something.
Well, funny, that'd be funny. Now, they have a sit stand desk that's not motorized. I got the one with the motor on it versus the other one.
Dude, you should get the one with the pedal on it.
I was going to say they have a crank that basically you can yank out in. But you can yank it out and turn it like the old Model T, you know? That kind of a crank.
Would it go,
It might, depending on how much you got on it.
Dan, are you pulling this off to a cut?
Pulling this off to a cut.
Please. But that one is like $279. I also have a cabinet coming.
What about the desks that are supposed to be free on TV that I see all the time?
Free desk?
I don't know. They make it sound so cheap, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, but I'll finally have a off. They're really actually once I clean up and rearrange things after I get the new furniture in there, my office will actually be kind of nice to work in because I'll be able to put all my computers up.
Joel, we're kind of asking, what was the first meal you cooked in the brand new kitchen?
First meal? I can't remember. Probably spaghetti. Yeah, we cook spaghetti. Well, no, I don't know if I was cooking spaghetti. I forget what it was. I don't even know. I have been cooking quite a bit. We had spaghetti the other day. I wanted to have Kroger's had this like steak. It's like shaved real thin, kind of like you do for cheesesteaks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I made that with some onions and some mushrooms the other day.
Oh, that's good.
That came out pretty good. Yeah, and not horribly unhealthy for you. I mean, it depends on what you eat with it, you know. And I didn't eat that much stuff with it, but today the wife She said, I want your crap out of the living room. So I said, well, get me some new furniture for my office and I will. And she let me.
So, Joel, did she sound like that, or was that like the nice way? Did you make it sound nicer than it actually sounded?
That actually probably made it sound worse.
You should have heard my wife today. We had to leave the house real quick. She's like, you didn't cook any vegetables! I'm like, hey, don't talk to me like that. She said you ought to leave quick.
So, did you guys talk about our friend, Eric?
Yep.
Yeah, man, does that hit hard. That hit me hard today.
Yeah, I don't know all the details, and I hate to say, I know Dor's been very upset over this, and I think I'm just kind of ostriching and trying to avoid it, because I don't want to get too down.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering he's younger than most of us,
I think the most important thing here is, and unfortunate, I'm going to sound a little bit like a jerk. My wife is unhappy about everything. And it's unfortunately worse now that her sport, like my sport, is politics. And you could always be mad at the other team, always. And I know that, hey, this is just how it is. It's always been this way because my family's been involved in politics since I was very young. But for her, it's very new, and she's like, I can't believe they did this, or I can't believe they didn't do this, and she's always unhappy about it. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I've got a great life. My wife has a great life. And all of the important things are so right. Everything is going so right. Do I have massive amounts of debt? Do I have to drive 150 miles to get to work? Yeah, but you know what? If everything else is right, heck, I'm the happiest guy on the planet. And I think
just reminds you that really it could hit us, any of us, at any time. You know, so I mean, it's, you know, but 8 weeks, you know, 8 weeks ago, he found out he had it. He didn't even have a chance to try to fight it. He really didn't. And that's what makes me really sad about it, but. Yeah, but
I think the important thing is in one, you know, enjoy every moment you have and enjoy the people around you. Even if it's somebody like Dan who gasses his family.
Nice.
You need to.
Mr. Mustard Gas.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great things. And I'll tell you, there's just so many simple things that I love. It was just beautiful here in Jupiter, earlier today. Not just a little breeze, almost no humidity, just absolutely the right temperature, blue skies. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so great. I just want to like be outside the whole day. And then I went back to my office.
Yeah. What was it? Blue Skies, Barfy Burgers and Girls from You Can't Do That. Remember that?
No. But heck, I could have worked outside. I could have just grabbed my laptop and an extension cord.
Yep. Yep.
Me and the birds sitting by the pool, smoking cigars. He smokes. I don't.
He smokes. You don't. So, all right. Let's get on to more fun things.
All right, Brad Alexander put in a request. He said no 3D printers and no automation talk.
All right, Joe, we'll see you next week.
Tough luck.
But he didn't say no CPAP. So, I mean, if he got a new CPAP story.
We haven't.
You know what I did this week? I installed a smart switch into my wall. I wired it, too.
Is it ESP266 based?
No idea. It's Sylvania Smart Plus.
Oh, dude, you know not to do that? Did you pay more than $5 for that?
Yeah, I did, but it wasn't really all that much. It was like $25, so it's not that bad, you know.
So it was only $5 what you should have paid for it.
Well, and technically, it's hubless, so there's no need for a hub, because it just uses Bluetooth.
So what you do is, you get the Sonos for $5 and you can put them in your, Switch box and you control it with
Shut up, bird.
MQTT. I say that when your son makes noise. Don't tell my son to be quiet. I actually love him.
Bob, the only thing that, I have to say about it is, cause it's Smart Plus is what became of the Lightify system, which is what I already have. But apparently the Smart Plus Switch doesn't connect to the Lightify hub because the Lightify hub is Zigbee. But the light bulbs do, and the light bulbs, the Smart Plus light bulbs still work with the hub. In fact, I bought three more of those too. And I got them for stink cheap, Rich. I got a 4-pack of them for $25 on Amazon.
So
I remember when I was paying $25 per bulb.
Here's my beef. There's a guy on YouTube, he does a channel, The Hookup, and his goal is, you know, his paradigm for home automation is similar to mine. I don't want crap phoning home. I want everything to stay on my network. Now, my lights don't. And I'm going to test. See, I may have to solder some wires onto them to flash them. But if I can, I will.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm with you on that. Like, for example, with my lights are you know, cloud-based, of course. But... that's about the only thing that it would ever let do that. Like, I wouldn't do security cameras that would be cloud-based. Never.
All right, who's making more noise than Joel?
A Nest and two Amazons.
Yeah. Oh, you have a Nest and two Amazons?
Actually, I have three of them, but one of them's still in the box.
Yeah, I got two Google Home Minis. Actually, yeah, no, wait a minute. No, two Google Home Minis and a Home Hub, and I do have some Echo Dots too, but I'm not buying any more Echo Dots. I'm only going to buy the Google stuff from now on. But the nice thing is all those the Switch and the light bulbs I bought for my bathroom, they are all you can all use really either the Echo Dot or the Google Home to activate them, shut them off, stuff like that.
But and actually, you're talking about the bathroom. I was thinking about using a Sonoff for the bathroom fan because my fan is either on or off. There's no timer on it.
Mm-hmm,
and I'd love
right.
to, ideally, what I would do is have a Sonoff and a humidity sensor, and that would control the fan. That when the
That's
humidity drops, that it would turn the fan off.
See, I almost thought about putting motion lights in the bathroom, but then I thought, nah, that would suck when you're in the shower. Because obviously,
don't take 30 minute showers.
Well, yeah, true. But for now, though, the ones in the bathroom, that kind of the nice thing is if somebody accidentally leaves them on, you can just shut them off without having to really do anything. You can just say, hey, geez, turn them off, you know, so. But the only thing that, you know, like, you talk about that, if you want voice control, the only the only name in the game in the open source realm is the Mycroft stuff. And I just don't know how it could compete, to be honest.
Yeah, I am a hypocrite. I do have a Google Home, and I do enjoy the Google functionality. I like being able to have it turn the lights on in my bedroom and turn them off. So, like, when I want to not off, I could just have it turn the lights off. And I have full color bulbs, so I can have whatever color I want. And it just the low Hass bulbs I have, purple seems to be really nice. And so, you know, I'll have the place lit up purple. And when I'm ready to doze off, I just ask it to turn the lights off, and that's it. So, yeah, I am a bit of a hypocrite that way. But I did
delete
all of my voice recordings out of Google just recently. Well, so I suggest people go back
clean it out
a while.
Regularly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have to do it because Shaw is starting to talk on it as well.
But what I noticed, too, is some of the things that we used to use, like there used to be My son thinks it's hilarious, but there used to be one on Google called Talk to Fart Noises. That's gone. There's something else on it there. You can still make it fart if you really want to. But, and those are the kind of fun things that kids do with those things, you know. He'll do that more than he does turn off lights and stuff.
My family doesn't appreciate fart stuff. I guess I ruined that for them.
Probably.
Were they ready to jump out of the moving car?
No, he keeps locking them in.
He's got the child locks on.
Yeah.
The window's locked. I'm sorry, Joel. Go ahead.
Yep. I'm sorry. I was turning off the hall light because somebody left it on. But
it's not that
I
smart,
didn't have
huh?
to move. Now, well,
wait, did you turn it off remotely or did you have to get up and go turn it off?
No, I turned it off with my voice, baby.
Oh.
How
lazy is it if you can't turn off the hall light that you got to get somebody else to do it with their voice?
Well, that's what we used to be the remote control for our dads back in the day, you know?
That's true. What do you say to turn off the light?
I say, well, hey, G, turn off, upstairs hall, and it'll turn it off. You gotta be very specific with it, is what I found, for the most part. I also found, if you just turn off the lights, because you can, I haven't tried dimming it with the switch. I don't think it will dim though, because it's just, it's a weird kind of a switch. It looks like the decor switches like I put in my kitchen, but it's not like a lever action. It's basically a push buttons, one on the top, one on the bottom, but it kind of looks like a regular switch. And it has a light on it in the middle of it. So it just connects to the Google Home with the Bluetooth. So, I will say this, when I pulled the old switch, I didn't do when the guy did the electrical work in my kitchen, he didn't even bother to turn the breaker off. He just yanked stuff out and did it real quick and he managed not to kill himself, but I'm a chicken shit.
I found the master breaker on the house. I'm like, be damned, all of it. I'm not, because I tested it out. I threw the right breaker on something, and I still got shocked. I'm like, that's it.
Wow,
I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I had the right breaker off.
The one thing that was odd that I found that the guys who built the house, who originally put that switch in, there's a ground wire there, but it was never hooked up to the switch.
Ground, you know. Was it a metal box or a plastic box?
It was a. No. I think it's a plastic box because it was built in the 90s, so.
Okay, then they needed the ground wire.
Right. But, you know, so the new Smart Plus switch also required neutral to be wired. Neutral was not wired in the original. So, luckily, I just yanked the wire nut because it basically had just had wire nut with the neutral line. So I just pulled that wire nut off through the
Dan, did you spool that off also?
Yeah.
Yes.
So many to pull off.
Yes. But anyway, it was actually pretty easy to wire, you know. It was a little bit intimidating, but all you had to do was was kind of look at the directions.
Wait,
were
was this like
good.
A three-way switch or a four-way switch?
No, just a regular switch.
Oh, then it's not intimidating.
Did you remember to turn off the electricity first?
Yes, sir. I always.
He's got curly hair now. I saw his last post.
Yeah, I have no hair now. I just cut it all off the other day, but.
TMI,
I'm not
buddy.
Bald, but so it was pretty easy to do, and I might start doing that with some of the other switches in the house. Like I'm thinking about, I bought a Switch Mate because it was dirt cheap at Walmart, that I'm using in the two lights in the kitchen. But what I may do, at least with the overhead ones, I might buy another one of those and, put that in there. And then that way we can, shut off the kitchen lights with the voice too. And the nice thing too is you can set away profiles too. So that, and it's basically like my grandpa always had a timer on light in his living room, that he would, have set on. It would come on and go off automatically. So this can do that automatically, and you can vary the schedule and do all kinds of crazy stuff and make it kind of look like your home's being lived in, even though there's nobody home. But, so, I enjoy that stuff, and I did do some 3D printing. The CR10 Mini is just a phenomenal printer. I'm just having a blast with it. I have been trying to crank up the speed here and there. I might do some experimentation on that. I do have flexible filament that I had ordered. I have not tried printing anything with that yet. It will do that, but it does it very slowly. 30 millimeters per second is what they suggest for the speed on that. So we'll see. I haven't tried it yet. I may try it with something that's small first, like maybe print a little, I have a cube, that I've designed, I might slice that up for TPU and try that first and see how it works. Just so I can dial in the settings properly. But, I don't know. Some people say the glass, borosilicate glass sucks for the Surface. I kind of like it because the finish I get in the bottom of the prints with the glass.
I like the glass I have on mine, yeah.
Yeah, I use that. Yeah, I tell you one thing, though, that won't work on a glass is glue stick doesn't work that well for me on a glass. I just use hairspray.
I was going to say, you go out and buy the giant bottle of hairspray that you'll never, ever finish.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to use it. At least I find I don't even have to use it every time.
Sometimes I have been. And what I found too, like to clean it off, I won't clean it off every time, but I will periodically clean it off. I basically just take the glass off the bed, run it into the kitchen, and run it under warm water, and that gets most of the hairspray right off of it. I will wash it with like some dish soap or something, and that usually assists it a little bit. And then when I get back to the office, I'll let it I'll let the glass sit off the bed first just to air dry a little bit, and then I'll put it on the bed, and then I'll take a little bit of rubbing alcohol do a kind of a final rub down with the rubbing alcohol, which will help get rid of any residual water that's on the glass. So, which isn't much by that point, but I don't mind it. I do hear of some people replacing, like if you accidentally bust that glass, replacing it with a mirror, like from IKEA or something like that. I think IKEA even has one that fits that bed. I have no complaints about it. Rich and I were kind of talking on Voxer about one of the things. CR10 is in the Mini as well, and the 10S, and all the Creality printers, are including the Ender 3, hugely, is into, somebody's dinging. They must have been getting in the car. Anyway, but there's a lot
no,
of.
No, that would be me, playing with this,
Alan's backing up.
Oximeter.
There you go.
No, I was playing with an oximeter here, and I took my finger out of it.
The community that's surrounding it, I mean, there's just so many upgrades for it, it ain't funny. Some that are printable, some that aren't. One of the things I've been thinking about doing with mine, although I will have to flash the firmware, is getting the ABL sensor, which is like $70, maybe a little bit more if you add in the kit, that you need to do the, to flash the, firmware, because the Arduino board that's in the CR10 Mini, for some strange reason, they didn't put the bootloader in it. Once the bootloader's on it, you can just use the standard USB cable to flash firmwares to it. So, and that's something I haven't done yet. But when you add the ABL sensor, you will have to do that. And that, the nice thing with that is, it basically, helps you with the bed leveling tremendously. Your bed level doesn't have to be absolutely perfect, with that. So basically would vary the Z axis as it's printing, so it always stays the same distance away from the glass. So.
I had a bed level sensor. I could never get the damn thing to work. I ended
really?
Up taking it off.
Well, yeah, you got the A8, right?
Yeah, I followed all the instructions, and I must be missing something because it doesn't work at all. I mean, it tries to level with the bed not even underneath it. I'm like, okay, something's not right here.
One thing I might do, at least in the interim, there is a couple of prints for the Z-axis screw, which basically puts a knob for the Z-axis on top of the printer. So that, if you're still doing the manual leveling, although I will say this, I did find, there is a STL file, not an STL file, a G-code file on Thingiverse, which will basically, walk the CR10 Mini, through a leveling sequence. And it's doing that by just moving the head around with the G-code. All right. So first thing it does is it homes it, and then it beeps 3 times, and then moves it to the first point, and then beeps 3 times, and then you have about 30 seconds to fiddle around with that screw to get it level, and then it moves on to the next one, and then it goes through all four corners. So then there's a guy, CHEP, I'm trying to remember what his is, Hillebuck, I think, is the last name of the guy. But he had a YouTube video where he took that leveling G-code and he adjusted it further so that, because the original G-code would put the leveling points at the corners, the absolute corners on the plate, he basically adjusted his G-code for that so that it levels at the screws. So wherever the screws are on the build plate, it will put the print head there for doing the leveling, which is a little bit more accurate. But even then, even using that for build plate leveling, I like to move it around a couple more times just to see what the level is manually with the steppers off. So it would be nice to have that Z-axis screw, knob on the top. I might print that. I might not. I don't know. But to be honest, there's a lot of people that do a lot. Like, there's some people that will buy the $350 CR10 Mini and spend another $350 in the upgrades, and that's just ridiculous. It doesn't need it.
Well, it does it to people who want to get the most out of a $300, $350 printer.
I guess. If I had another $350, I'd buy another CR10 Mini. Or if I had another $400, I'd buy a CR10. 10S, actually. But, and to be honest, I'm not interested. I like the CR10s. I'm not interested in the CRX. For those who don't know, the CRX is the dual, I think it's the dual extruder version of the CR10. I haven't heard a lot of good reviews on that one. But
Enough for just mine. So mine works for me, so I'm not worried too much about another one for right now.
I still want a I kind of want a I want an SLA printer pretty bad. And Creality is making an SLA printer now too. For those who don't know, that would be a resin printer, so it's not FDM. It basically has a tub of resin, and you shoot the it shoots a laser or an LED at the resin, and it cures that layer instantly. So that it kind of builds it upside down compared to regular FDM printers. But the details that you can get on the SLA printer is just so much better. So if you're into, like, making miniatures and stuff for board games, that's the printer to get. One of those kind of printers. And all goes with where I really wish I would have went to Murph this year. Murph is the Midwest Rep Rap Festival. It's in Goshen, Indiana. So even TJ could go.
I was going to say, that's not too far from me.
Nope. And it's worth it, too. 3D Printing Nerd usually goes to that. I know Barnacles has gone the last couple years. Thomas Sandlander, and then the E3D guys are there.
So what is it, like all 3D printing then?
Yep, it's pretty much, it's like a Linux Fest, but all 3D printing.
Oh, no, there's no way I'd go to that. I'd die of boredom.
I think the most interesting one is I saw two videos on Murph that were really interesting. One is the unlimited Z-axis printer, the White Knight. Did you see that, Rich? Oh, he's gone. Okay, never mind.
To hell with him.
The white, it essentially, imagine a treadmill, but with a 3D printer, printing, X-axis and Y-axis over top of it. All right. So that's essentially kind of what it is. He got a loop of build tech, continuous loop of build tech that he had the company helped him out a lot with that provided the build tech. And of all software that he could use to design it, he used Microsoft 3D designer software. I think it's even the name of it too. It's Microsoft 3D designer. It's a free program you can get for Windows. So basically, what it means is the Z-axis, you can print like you can print a sword that's very, very long. You know, like a 3-foot sword, or you can continuously print things like, during Murph, he had it printing this little design he had, and it would basically print one after the other and just keep on printing. It was pretty nifty. And then there was another one there, trying to think if he had a name for the printer, but he did a custom design of a 3D printer for an art project that was as tall as he was. And it was actually kind of funny. He used a conduit and connectors to basically make the frame for it. It wasn't extruded aluminum or anything like that. And he had counterweights and strings. And all the motors and stuff were pretty much standard RepRap steppers and Melzi boards and stuff like that. It was interesting. So, dig into 3D printing. So, Brad Alexander, sorry. And that arcade game I posted on MeWe, that RetroPie system, was completely 3D printed. And it took 22 kilograms of filament. He had 10 kilo rolls that a company sent him for the project. and 17-inch LCD, and the LCD would rotate between landscape and portrait. So, I thought it did it automatically, but I don't think it did. I think you actually had to turn it on by manually. I would never do that because that's just a lot of filament and a lot of printing time. That's one of those ones where you get the biggest printer you can get and you don't bother with the 0.4 millimeter nozzle like we've been using. You get a 1 millimeter nozzle. Because that speeds you up quite a bit. You printed anything cool, Alan?
No, actually I haven't. I got myself one of these Osmo, the pockets. Which are really
nice. Oh, the pockets.
Yeah, it's actually really nice. But I was trying to print up a holder for the,
like I did?
The holder for, it wraps around it for the, GoPro mounts. But I'm realizing that my printer is slightly off in its size.
Oh.
So it worked. But I have to reprint it because when I was breaking out, it's got a bunch of supports in it. And when I was breaking out the supports, it fits on there, but I broke one of the corners.
Darn. One thing, in the Creality Facebook group that I came across, and it sounded like a good idea, for one guy in the group just getting a variable, power, soldering iron and replace the tip with one of the blade tips and use that for cutting the supports off the printer, off of the print. And I thought that might work and it might make it look pretty dang good too.
Well, I think next time I'm going to reprint the thing, I was playing around with maybe doing like a percent size up. Because I've known it's always been a hair off, but it's really, if you print like a 10 millimeter square on there, you get, 9.999. Yeah. It's not, for me, it's not enough to waste the time to try to, because basically what they say is you're supposed to do it inside the software. Inside the actual software on the machine. To tell it to extrude just a little bit more. But for me, it's not really worth it for me. But I think what I'll do is I'll use the Dremel to cut it off next time.
You can upscale it in Cura.
Yeah, I was going to put it, I tried like 110%, which was way too big. Right. I knew that anyways.
That's why I need to experiment with some of the other slicers. I'm usually a Cura guy. I like it. I understand it. I tried the plain slicer. Which is the open source slicer, and I'm not a fan of that. I have not tried a Prusa, made a customized version of slicer, for his printers, but you can go download it for free. So, and you can use it for any printer. You don't have to, it's not restricted to the Prusa printers. And Simplify 3D.
I think I'm using the Prusa i3 settings.
Okay.
For mine in the Cura app.
Mm-hmm.
Which seemed to work perfectly fine. I have not had any issues with that.
Now, I can't.
Who's feeding back? I hear myself.
I was probably holding my mic open. I was getting ready to talk.
Oh, okay.
But, I kind of want to try Simplify 3D, but I kind of also don't want to spend $150 on a slicer. So I think one of the ones I'm going to try now is Matter Control. That's from the folks at Matter Hackers. And the one reason I want to try that, is like Simplify 3D, you can customize your support structures. Probably my biggest complaint with Cura is it'll put supports sometimes where you don't really need it. It's not quite placing them like I would like it. And it puts a lot in, a lot of supports in there too. So like, I printed a statue of Iron Man shooting, and really, it really only needed some supports in the legs, like one or two little supports right, well, in his crotch, you know? And then the other, supporting his arm, which is sticking out like he's shooting the repulsor. So, but when I sliced it in Kura and printed it, it put them everywhere. It was just nuts. And removing them was not fun.
That was the first time I really used any support. And it actually does need it because there's a huge slot down the middle.
Yeah.
Because what it does is, in order to lock this arm, there's this little wrap thing around there. The little adapter that goes for hooking it to your camera. You slide that on there, and it sort of like holds it in place. But we'll try it again maybe this weekend.
Yep. Now, depending on the size of the hole, sometimes holes are just fine. Like, when I was printing these pegs I designed for my door, I put a hole in it just in case I wanted to like screw it, actually screw it into the wall. Instead, I ended up just using 3D, the 3M command strips.
Mm-hmm.
And I used that. But those holes, I had to put support in it because I have in the design, I put a sphere on the end of one of the pegs. All right. Probably the most efficient way to lay it was so that when you place it on the build platform in your slicer is to lay it down to avoid as much support as possible. The only way I could lay it was on side, which meant the sphere had to lay close to the bed. Mm-hmm. So because the sphere would be air printing, you had to put some support in. So, and that wasn't too bad, because you can peel most of it off, and then I just use a little bit of sandpaper to get it off.
Yeah, we'll work a little bit better on this one next time. We'll see what happens.
Yep. But that's the thing, like, I've also started fiddling around with a Fusion 360, is a nice CAD program that you can use for it, and it is free. You got to fiddle with it, but you can't get a free version of it as long as you're not making money off of it. You know, so if you're just a hobby, you know, doing stuff for a hobby or something, or making very limited money off of it, you don't have to pay Autodesk for a license.
Yeah, I think you got to try.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier than trying to deal with OpenSCAD.
Yeah, that one I haven't had much luck with.
Yeah, it's not very friendly.
My problem is because I have other CAD systems in my head.
Right.
It's for me, it's muscle memory. You know, I keep hitting keys that don't work or keys that do something completely different. So yep. It drives me up the wall when learning a new CAD system.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like that. Yeah, I mean, TinkerCAD is very simple.
Even for me, TinkerCAD, I have to always remember that, you know, how to rotate things because for me, I do rotations a whole different way. And it's just like, I'm be flying along and be like, ah, fuck. The thing that pisses me off on a lot of these guys is they don't have rulers or good rulers, I should say. You know, TinkerCAD has a ruler, but you know, unless you want to say, okay, the whole thing is this big, you know, you just can't figure it out real easy.
Mm-hmm.
I found that with a couple ones that I worked on. They just, you know, you just don't have a good ruler. My brain just went blank. Blender. You can actually do 3D stuff for your printer in Blender. But the problem is, you know, it's difficult
so
as hell to try to put a, you know, Well, it's not, that's, the overhead's not, not bad at all. I mean, it depends what you're doing with it.
No, no,
but it's just like, if you want to measure, like, you know, a block, you have to sort of like do the math in your head. You just can't put, you know, click here and go, oh, that's, you know, five, you know, or whatever.
That, that's why, like, a Fusion 360 is pretty good with that. You basically say, if you know what you want, what your measurements are, then you can basically said like, okay, I need a rectangle that's 22 millimeters by 10 millimeters, and that's easy enough to do. All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, and that's in the sketch mode, because that's kind of how Fusion 360 operates off of doing a 2D sketch first, and then you can go back in the model mode and do extrudes and stuff to, in order to flesh out the 3D parts of it. But, so I'm getting pretty good at it, and I like Fusion 360 a lot better than, Tinkercad doesn't allow you to do things like fillets and chamfers and stuff like that. And,
well, it does, but you have to jump through hoops to do it.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it's not natural. And I'm amazed too, like, if you ever seen, Creality's, huge evangelist, who lives in Shenzhen, Naomi Wu, otherwise known as the sexy cyborg. She has a YouTube channel, and she has some fantastic work that she's done just using Tinkercad. And I'm amazed at some of the stuff I've seen her do in Tinkercad. You know, it's incredible.
You can do a lot of stuff in it, you know, but I just, I don't know, like I said, I've done simple things in it, but other than that, I don't have time to keep playing with it. That's
well, the one thing I liked she did, she had the GPD Pocket computer, you know, the little tiny 7-inch laptop.
Mm-hmm.
She made a holster for it that she 3D printed in Tinkercad, complete with rounded corners and everything. I'm amazed at how that looked, and she printed it in one print. I think she even printed it with no support. So, and she had a belt clip on it. It was pretty cute. Not something I would need, but she does a lot of reviews of printers, not just Creality printers, but like she did one on the, I forget the one that she reviewed. It was one I would never buy. because it used an odd thickness of a spool, and it actually has an elevator. So you'd load the print, the spool, with the spool holder outside of the printer, but then you have to press a button and it sucks the spool down into the printer. It's odd. But 3D printing is—it's just it's so much fun. I'm having a blast with it. I think my next dust collector that I'm printing, and it is a dust collector, is I found the an STL on Thingiverse of the Gunstar from the last Starfighter movie. I'm gonna print that. Yeah. I could print it in a larger size, but I don't think I want to.
Is it doing the Death Blossom?
No, it's not. It doesn't even have panels that you could open up. It's actually, it's not as detailed as it could be. But now if you look on Thingiverse, there's some really cool sci-fi models on there. There is I saw the reimagined series Battlestar Galactica on there that you have to print in pieces. This thing is probably 3 or 4 foot long when you print it.
Get some work, man.
Not that I'm going to print that one, but I think I'm going to print, I am going to print the, both the Enterprise A and Enterprise B. There's some pretty good models on there. But I need to get some filament first. Because I'm probably gonna take the size of all the parts and do it up by at least 200%. Because I can do that now. So the A saucer would be about 8 inches across. So, and I'd like to do that and then print it, and paint it. I'd like to paint it too. Maybe even drill some lights into it. I don't know. I'm probably going to toy with that one and try printing it as hollow as possible. So print it at like 1% infill or something stupid like that. It needs some support inside to hold the dome-ish kind of parts of the saucer section up. Cause without the internal support from the infill, it's not going to hold up. You'd be air printing.
Yeah.
Air printing is never good. You end up with a mess.
Making spaghetti.
Yep. Oh, you know what? That I thought would be kind of cool is take the glow in the dark one and accidentally do that. Have glow in the dark filament that's like a floss. Or actually, there's some. Have you seen the Lilian model that's been going around? It's basically the body of the lion, and it's surrounded by, I think you have to print it with a draft shield. So then what happens is, for the mane of the lion, it prints these very thin lines of filament, alright, and it attaches to the draft shield. And then when you're done, I don't think it's actually a draft shield. I think it's the cylinder that looks like a draft shield is in the model, right? So then when it's done, you pop it off the bed, you cut that cylinder off, and then you take a hair dryer and you can take the mane of the lion and kind of style it and make it look like you want it. I know, Joel Telling did that, so it's pretty nifty. I have not printed anything with hinges, because you can print things like a hinge with the pin in the middle as one part. And I have not tried that.
You just sort of snap it, and it starts to move at that point.
Correct. If it's not fused. The one time I did try it, it was fused, when I went to do that, I just snapped it in two. So, it's very touchy. Your settings for your slicer had to be just right in order for it to work. You're probably printing at least at 0.15 layer heights too, not 0.2 probably won't work. That's the standard draft height that almost everybody uses. Mine'll go down to 0.1. So both of them will, I think.
I think that's what my default is, actually, I think. Let me see.
Yeah, that's the usual default. Mm-hmm. Now, if I go to print those Enterprise models, I'm probably going to print them at 0.15, I think. The more layers you have, the more smooth, certain things will be. And I'm also probably going to put ironing on. If you haven't experimented with ironing essentially, it'll, run the hot, nozzle over the print and it does extrude a tiny bit with it, but the goal is to make it as flat as possible and to try and cover up some of those layer lines. And it actually works pretty well.
Yeah, my layer height is 0.1 to begin with, yeah.
Yeah, 0.1 is probably the max that any of the writers will do. I don't have anything that will go higher resolution than that.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm debating trying to get some bigger nozzles for some of my bigger prints.
What, you mean you don't want to do a 2-week print?
I haven't actually starred one. Some of the ones I've looked at, I started slicing it. I'm like, no, I don't want to start that. That's a day and a half print. I'm not going to do that. Plus, besides, I'm actually running low on filament. So I'm due to either run up to Micro Center and get some or order some. I'll probably go to Micro Center because I really like, they have some good filament, at Micro Center. Their Inland PLA Plus seems to be one of my favorites that I like to print with. So, and it's about $17 a roll.
Yeah, I'm still running on what I had from when I first got it. One roll of black.
Yep.
Not going to worry about that until changing it until, you know, until I run out.
I got an idea.
Plus it's a pain in the ass to change the filament in this thing.
It is. It is. Yeah. That's actually something I also started doing was experimenting with changing filament mid-print. Of course, granted, with the print volume of my CR10 Mini, I have to do that sometimes, depending on what I'm printing. But I did that with some – I made some tags for like a suitcase. So I printed it just until the point where it started to print the text. I hit this change filament button on my CR10. It ejects the filament most of the way for you. Then you just pull it the rest of the way out. And then you put the new roll on and then press the button and it picks up where it left off. At worst, you might have a little bit of blob that you can just pick right off of it. I usually try to, right before I hit the button, get my needle nose out and grab that little blob off the end before I hit the button to continue. But I did.
Seeing as I only have one roll, I've never actually tried that, but I think that it probably would screw up on mine because there are times when, you know, you get that first, like you try to print a skirt or something around there, and it has to go around the print at least once before I get anything coming out at all.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I usually try to like prime it just a little bit right before it starts up, but sometimes you catch it, sometimes you don't.
Yep, definitely. Definitely, but I really enjoy it. One of these days, yeah, I cannot wait until like some of the other printer technologies come down on cost to make them affordable. My Mirror Mortals, like the sintering technology is really cool looking. Basically it's a polymer in a powder form and it's very similar to the SLA, but it just shoots it through the powder. And there's a $10,000 printer right there. And Richard mentioned what on Voxer we were talking about it, about trying a Lost PLA too, which that's something I want to try as well. Yep. So, and before we go, I'm planning on, I don't know if I mentioned it before on the show, but I'm going to Southeast Linux Fest. Time off requests in. I do not have hotel reservations yet, but hopefully we'll be making them soon. And debating whether I'm going to drive down to whether the family's going to come or if I'm going to do solo like I did last year. I kind of enjoyed the drive by myself. That was kind of fun, except for the way back because it took me an extra hour.
I'm not going to make any of them this year.
I'm going to Texas Linux Fest, whether my boss likes it or not.
Well, that's just what, down the block practically, though, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it's in Irving, so it's like a 40-mile drive or something, so yeah.
Right. Yeah, not even an hour. Yeah. Well, actually, it probably will take you an hour because Dallas traffic sucks, but...
Yeah, but I'm willing to brave the traffic to go to Texas Linux Fest.
Yep. Well, that's like one of these years I want to make it down to HamCom down in Orlando.
I
like a mini version of Dayton Ham Mansion. I need to get a DMR hotspot yet.
You can pick up a Pi Star off of HRO for like $120. It's a whole kit. You just plug it into plug in the power and configure it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just thought something. Now I can probably 3D print something like I did for my DVAP setup.
Yeah. I actually like it. I have the little Pi Star that they sell. I think it's the Zoom Spot, I think they call it. And I actually really like that. It works really well.
Doesn't that also
you can pull D-Star? Does D-Star, DMR, YSF, P25, NXDN, or whatever the hell that one is.
NXDN,
I think it will I think it will also do, let me double check here.
System Fusion?
It does System Fusion.
Nice.
Where is it here?
Which that'd be the only way I could use a System Fusion radio in Columbus, because we don't have any repeaters here yet.
Well, that's the same thing here. You basically, for me, all I can use is like the YSF rooms, because mm-hmm. there are no. Let me just log in here.
I think Philly is really big in the System Fusion.
Well, there's a lot of System Fusion machines, but I haven't been able to determine whether any of them are actually hooked up to, like, you know, the Wires X rooms. Oh, that's why. Turn off the caps, Alan. It may actually work for you. I have too many wires running over top of my keyboard.
Dan, when you get a chance, fire an email off to Dan. What? When you get a chance, fire off an email to me with your mailing address so I can mail this pine book to you.
Alright. Hey, just look at that. My domain.
It'll do DMR, D-Star, YSF, P25, NXDN, YSF to DMR, YSF to NXDN, YSF to P25, DMR to YSF, DMR to NXDN, POGSET.
Wow.
So if you want to do like listen to pagers and shit.
No thanks for the pagers. But yep, I'll send that pine book down to you, and I'll also send you a pack of nuclear noodles as well.
Alright.
And then you can enjoy the next day. Last Thursday was painful.
Did your butt catch on fire?
Oh god, yes. And you know what? That never used to happen to me when I was younger and ate hot stuff, but it happens to me every single time I eat anything hot nowadays.
Welcome to age.
That's right.
All right, gents. I'm taking off.
Yep, it's about time.
Well, wait.
Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Huh. Yeah, talk to you later.
What were you going to talk about? Okay.
I just wanted this. Peggy's gone. He had something for the show. So in the MeWe group for the Linux Link Tech Show, there's been an awful lot of posting by, a handful of people, but Uno WP. I don't even know who that is. And no, wait, was it? Yeah, so Uno WP did a post about Firefox Send. It said install the Firefox Send client in Linux, and it's an article off OMG Foss. And the thing that, like, I was reading through there, and I'm like, I never used Firefox Send before. Let me check it out, you know? And it's got a fully featured command line tool for interacting with Firefox Send called FFSend. And the installation instructions were snap install FFSend, right? And I was like, oh, man. I run Ubuntu, but I don't really use snaps, or I haven't. I could install it if I wanted to, which I'm not opposed to snaps, but I kind of like things that are a little more agnostic, that don't like, so, and I didn't, like, when I saw the snap, I should have just kept reading the next sentence down, or you can download it from the link below, which sends you to the binary release. But if you go to the GitHub website, there's other ways that you can install it if you want, which I did. Went the long way to do it. But the information is completely there for how to install it. It's built using Rust. And it's very simple to build. It only took a few minutes to install. And I used it, FFSend. It seems like a nice way to send files to somebody. There's, I believe, a limitation of 2 gigabytes, though. And you can, if you authenticate, which I didn't know this because I was sending stupid stuff around just a few minutes ago, and I'm like, well, once you send it and somebody uses it, that is, URL is no longer viable. It's like one-time use only. But you can set, there's a parameter in there that you can set the number of downloads that you'll allow. So I tried to set it for something like 5, but it wouldn't let me do it because it kept saying, well, you need to authenticate, or you can only do 1, or you can force it. And I tried forcing, but it would not accept it. And I don't know why it wouldn't accept it. But if you just do, like, when you get it and install it, if you do ffsend help-h, it doesn't really tell you, like, how to authenticate in this, easily. There's some options there. It says basic auth user password. Oh, there it is. And it's kind of weird. I don't know. But it seems like a pretty cool client. I just wanted to say that. So if you're looking at our MeWe channel, if you're interested in FFSend, there's a GitHub for it, which I will post. Because everything's GitHub anymore. Oh man, I hate going between a command line and like a browser, because every time I do that, I want to use like the control shift C to copy like I do out of a command line and paste it somewhere. That was a terminal and paste it somewhere else, but that doesn't work. So I'll post that in the IRC, there, or you could just obviously follow it off of that article that's on the MeWe group. Joel, I did want to ask you, you posted on your MeWe channel the last thing that you 3D printed. What is that?
The purple thing?
Yeah.
It's a cross.
Okay. I didn't know if it was anything like, I mean, I like it. It's got the shape of a cross, but it also looks like, you know, like a medieval weapon.
Or a tattoo,
you know, it's something that you would throw at somebody and it would slice them apart in a video game. I don't know. I was just curious what it was. It looks pretty cool.
What's the weapon that they had in Krull?
Yeah, the glaive.
The glaive. That's it. I should print one of those. That'd be a fun print.
Yeah, there you go. So, is that a 2-color print?
Yeah, that's, I started off with the glow-in-the-dark filament, and I used up the rest of that roll, so I had to switch to another roll, and I switched it to my purple one.
Okay. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. I think, I upgraded my one laptop to 1904, and you know, I gotta say, I had absolutely no problems. I did the do release upgrade, and it was finished, man. I started doing that, I think it was Monday I did it, or was it Saturday? It might have been Saturday. No, it would have been Monday because I smoked a pork butt on Saturday. I don't think I'd have been screwing around doing stuff like that. But I started it while right as I started my workout, and it was finished and about an hour later, not that much longer. And it's 1904, working great. I'm gonna do this, my main one, next. The only hiccup I've seen so far with it, and it's not really that big of a hiccup, but it installed, looks like a new version of Mumble, and it kind of reverted some of my settings in that it re-enabled notifications where I had them turned off. So when I started up and connected, it was doing the text to speech, letting me know that other things were going on, which I had all that disabled, you know, so not a big deal, but that was pretty cool. So I am pleased. Yeah, no, I am pleased with that.
I haven't done an upgrade yet, but I did set up a, not Fedora 30, but Fedora 29 and a VM, doing some, stuff for work. I'm reading through one of our other products and trying to learn how to install it and going through the documentation. Unfortunately, this is the Oracle for the DB in the backend, but the server is all Linux. It's either Red Hat, RHEL 7, or Oracle Unbreakable. And then it uses RabbitMQ as well as trying to think what else is Apache FOP. It also uses too. So, I was kind of messing around with teaching myself how to install that in Fedora 29 this week.
Oh, wait, what is?
What Apache is Apache? It's a XML deal. Yeah.
XML formatting objects, printer, print formatter.
Object processor.
So you can, turn stuff into PDFs. Okay. I played around with that a long time ago. I hope the documentation's a little better.
luckily, all I have to do is make sure that it's installed or install it. Which I don't even know. My boss is actually a DegreeWorks guy. Which is the name of the product, our product that it's basically set up for, doing, like a degree audit validations and stuff like that, you know. A lot of the things is just like make sure those things are set up and then you feed it like the Oracle SID and the login credentials and stuff like that into the installer, and it does everything for you. So, I mean, you don't have to do anything. You might have to load some data structures and do a DB create and stuff like that after you're done. Really, you don't have to know what FOP does and it doesn't even have, going through the manual didn't even look like it had directions on how to, set up RabbitMQ's queues. It looks like it just does it, you know. So it just does it for you in its installation. So, you know, it looks like a fairly straightforward installation. And it looks like most everything, like you might have an app server and a DB server and that's it. Or I'm betting that some probably want to throw everything on one server. That seems to be the MO for education. I don't know why, but trying to talk them out of it most of the time.
Cool. All right, we gotta wrap this up, huh?
Yep.
You gotta get to the gym, right?
I went to the gym last 2 days, and I did enough walking around IKEA. I'm good.
So you went to the gym. I'm glad to hear you going back to the gym. So that's good.
Yep. And no more nuclear needles for me. I think I can take it. I will tell you this, that what you'll find it that when you try them, Dan, is they're hot, but they actually have a good flavor. So it's not like the stuff that's just hot, you know? So huh? I think you will probably enjoy them, I think. I did too, to a point, until the next morning, and then I said, no, I'm done with that shit.
I will let you know.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. That's what was me the next morning.
A brown ring of fire. Alright, I'm gonna play out of promos. Thanks a lot. See ya. Have a safe and happy week, and, I hope your birthday went well, right?
Yeah, I didn't really do anything. I got a free pizza from Donato's here.
Well, that's good. That's good. Alright, well, here we are, your promos. Thanks a lot. Dun 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 dun.
Hi folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You will find fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the J-A-K attack.com. Time well wasted.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah!
Mm-hmm. I gotta go to the store, though. Dougie needs some food for the morning.
I thought you were gonna wear in your office.
I might do that as well. What's sleep?
Yeah, you're the bed soon, man.
Luckily, I don't really have a lot on the folding table I want to get rid of that's in there that the one thing will replace. Fortunately, they didn't have the desk or the cabinet I wanted at the same time. At the store, I had to order those, so they're going to ship those to me.
Well, at least you can get them.
Yep. And the sit-stand desk is really, I was going to go for kind of something humdrum, and they had a one with a black frame and a wood look top, but then I saw one they had a same black frame, And it had a blue linoleum top, which looked really sharp and different, so I decided to go for that one.
Is it motor-driven or manual?
The one I got's motor-driven, actually. It has a little key. It's not really a key. It's more or less just a piece of metal that you can pull in and pull out. So once it's set, you just pull that out so that if you do bump into the buttons, it won't move on you. But
how much does it weigh?
If I remember right, I thought it was 40 pounds.
Oh, that's not bad.
I don't know. No, it's not terribly heavy. The desk might weigh 40. The desktop might weigh that. Because I don't care what anyone says. IKEA stuff ain't no joke. It's some of the most tough furniture that you put together that I've seen. So I mean, everything I've ever put together from IKEA just holds up well. I've got a LAC table that's in my office now that I'm not getting rid of. I'm just not going to have it in there. That table is probably 30 years old because I had it when I was 17.
Nice.
And it's still just as strong. And it looks like one of those cheap ass plastic tables they had in the 80s, but it ain't that. It's well built. And I like, we got some silverware from IKEA too, probably not this trip, but the trip before last, and I really like it. It sounds crazy to mention how you like silverware, but I do. I can't explain why. Kind of like drinking out of that favorite coffee cup, you know?
All right. Say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop this recording.
Nighty night.
Dude, it's been spring here for like 5 months.
Yeah, it'll be an oven down there, like, if it's not already.
In another week.
mid-80s today.
Trying to hook up a Z-Wave device to my home assistant thing here today.
Oh, cool. How'd you do?
I just got it this afternoon. I've actually just plugged it in. In the process of doing the disco light thing.
So which Z-Wave adapter did you get?
AEOTech.
Hello?
I guess that's how you pronounce AEOTech. Hello.
Hello?
Hello. The Z-Stick Gen 5, which is supposed to work with it.
How much was that?
It was $39, I think it was, on Amazon.
For a stupid USB dongle?
Alan.
For a dongle, yes. Hello?
Alan.
Yes.
And by...
What? Yeah, $39 for a dongle. But I had a Wink, one of those Wink hubs.
Testing.
It just stopped working.
Testing,
we can hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
I guess he can't hear us.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm sorry about that. You know what? It switched the headphones back to the audio out on the microphone for some reason. So I thought there was something wrong with the microphone. And I couldn't hear anybody.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show.
How you doing, Rich? How you doing, Pat?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right. I'll be right back. 1 second.
Ah, como está?
What do you know, Joe?
As little as possible. Evidently, I did the gym right, because I frickin' hurt. How do I sound?
Not bad.
Little hot.
Thank you.
The boot camp on Saturday, they changed up the routine and it was like all abs, so it's all pain. And you didn't hear me because I wasn't on the right screen, Joe, but you're using all of my lines, so I might as well not just show up.
Is that better? Calm it down a little bit?
Joe, you are so good. It's like butter.
Thank you, sir.
Much better than Joel. Now, did Joel say he was going to be late or not at all tonight? Because I'm ready to break out the happy dance.
I don't remember him mentioning it.
Uh-oh. I think I need to bring the bird in here. Be right back.
Sounds riled up.
We'll be having chicken tonight, huh? At Rich's Southern Command. Hey, Alan. Where did Alan go?
I'm here.
Happy belated birthday. I didn't know if you heard me before.
Oh, I started hearing you, but then you cut out. Well, thank you very much.
I hope it was a wonderful time.
Yeah, wasn't bad. Had to work during the day, so I don't take the birthday off anymore.
Day after the birthday off.
Well, I had stuff to do, but usually when the last time I took my birthday off, I ended up getting they had a layoff at the company, so I found out about it the next day.
Wait, you got laid off?
No.
Oh,
this was years ago.
Oh.
I used to always take my birthday off. And it was like a Friday. So I took my birthday off and I come back in on Monday and like people are like staring at me like, oh, you're still here. I'm like, yeah, what happened? So in by 8, out by 8:30 that day.
Nice.
Now we're in a partial, furlough situation now at work. Although I'm lucky right now that it skipped me. I'm hoping that it stays that way.
The angel of death of the job passed over your house?
Yeah, it passed over and I'm happy that it did. But I keep worrying about it's gonna catch up with me eventually.
Oh dude, man, that's rough. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a temporary furlough. What they've been doing is that everybody had to take a month furlough, but they do it like every other week, so. It's not as bad. And you get unemployment from it, so it's not, you know, because it's 5 days in a row, so you still get unemployment.
You're a wealthy man, so unemployment is enough for you. Dude, I was unemployed, I don't know how long, for how many years I could have, I just didn't claim it, because I hate to say it, I was so effed financially, the unemployment money wouldn't have made a difference.
Well, every little bit helps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, unfortunately, my cocaine habit.
Yeah. Well, with the alimony, I ended up running up a whole lot of bills, so I'm in the process of trying to pay them all off now.
Wait, did you get remarried again, too?
Not yet, no.
Not yet?
Not yet, no. Probably November, I think it is. I think that's tentatively the date.
Yeah, is there going to be cigars and liquor? Because I'm coming.
Don't know about cigars, because, well, it depends. There may be cigars. This is going to be very small, just as a piece type thing.
Yeah, I'm game. I'll go with cigars and liquor, yeah.
I mean, if Rich is coming,
cigars
I gotta go
and liquor,
too.
Like slang for hookers and blow.
He decoded my message. Oh my gosh!
Lehigh Valley hookers.
Wow.
No, I'll bring him from Palm Beach. They'll ride up with me.
It was funny. There was an article on the Morning Call about, you know, how they got rid of Backpage. And here it is, like, these cops are like, oh yeah, we're using this new site now to catch everybody. I'm like, good, tell everybody about the new site there. It's like, you probably didn't, I mean, the people you're gonna catch, you knew about the site already.
Right.
But it was like, I don't know.
But the casual users, you know, need to be
informed. Yeah, it's like, how many other users now have you just told about this site if they want to go find, you know, hookers?
That's like, you know how terrified I am to get a massage here in Jupiter now. Now that my favorite place is closed.
Since Bubba gave you the happy ending?
Yeah.
Happy ending.
Well, who's the guy from the Patriots? What's his name?
The old man? I don't know.
Yeah. Because that's just down the road from me.
Robert Kraft,
thank you.
Yeah, let me... Oh... And it's funny because they've run this story like 2 days in a row. That's
really?
Yeah, dude, Backpage is gone, but a more graphic version is online.
Oh jeez.
So if you want the more
paste
graphic
the link.
Version,
paste the link.
It's just called skipthegames.com. There you go.
Oh, that's the new site.
That's the new Booker site instead of Backpage now.
Skipthegames.com?
Okay. That's what it says, yeah. Oh. I have not been there. How good is it?
Well, I don't know, but I don't see Lehigh Valley or Allentown, Easton, or Bethlehem listed as the top escort cities.
Well, you know.
Who knew? Wait, what's it say for Palm Beach, Dan? No, forget that. Orlando.
Wait, it's got your picture right on the front page, Rich.
Best customer?
No.
Do not lousy
top earner
tipper.
Right now.
Yeah, but if you type in Allentown, it does come up.
What do you type in Allentown? Oh, I am looking
I just put Allentown.
Because my internet connection may be heavily surveilled this month at least, I am not going to type that in.
Well, you get categories here. You can narrow it down to the Poconos, or
oh, when you said categories, I'm thinking, you know, activities.
You can put keywords in there. Let's put it that way. Yeah, there's some skanky looking people on here.
Dan, my username is Haywood. Hey, would you blow me?
Wonder, maybe this is where Joel is right now.
No! did Joel say he was going to be late or not at all?
I don't know. I didn't.
Because do we get to talk bad about him? Do we get to guess when he's going to come and what he had for dinner?
Sure. Well, this site is...
I'm going to say McDonald's at 9:27 p.m.
That's not fair.
He's had McDonald's the last, like, six times.
Yep. Wait, if he's out of the house, he might not get Uber Eats. Or whatever.
Uber Eats.
Huh. Wait, did you say you want Uber Eats? McDonald's?
McDonald's at 9:27 p.m.
Alright.
Here's one that even gives the exit she's on.
I'll be standing there.
Off 78, exit 45.
You said cheeseburger, she's in Jersey, huh? Joe, at 9:26?
Yep.
Is that Central Time, 9:20? Or, wait. 9:26, man. Why would he even show up?
Plenty of semi-truck parking.
Anybody else? Is that what it is? Plenty of set.
I'm gonna go with 8:45, Uber Eats modifier Wendy's.
Hmm.
You I'm said still 8:45, laughing. Right?
I'm still laughing over the double end Dan story.
Anybody else?
8:50.
Did you say Dan got Eiffel Towered?
Nah.
Eiffel Towered.
Towered.
8:50, pizza. I don't think he's done that one in a while, has he?
No. So we got... Do you want to weigh in, Pat?
I'm going to say 8:45 burger.
Hmm. You know what? He's not here.
I see, he's mobile. He's out. He could pick something up. Because, you know, he's got a new kitchen that he's not cooking in.
And that's a good point. Oh my goodness, you're right. Wait, but what would he get out? It would either be pizza,
McDonald's, or pizza. There's always gas station sushi. He could be cruising by a gas station.
Kroger sushi.
I'll say gas station, chicken, parm, sandwich, and 8:50. Wow, imagine if that wasn't what he got.
Right, right.
But I don't think
you're looking at his Facebook?
No. I'm
Do you post the chicken parm on Instagram?
No, on MeWe.
Not on Twitter. On Twitter.
I mean,
we always know when he's exercising.
All right. Man, I can't find anything in my... Oh. Wait, why? All right. Why did it, this takes a long time to run a search and skip to games.com.
Oh, you're doing a search.
You're searching for Joel, see if his picture's there?
I want to see if he might be, available to come on the show. Columbus, Ohio. Good time.
Good times, bad times.
So, you got a choice between fastest results, fast results, and gallery.
Gallery. Pick gallery.
Well, I think that's what I have, gallery.
It's just like a scrolling thing.
You didn't do show notes for last episode? It wasn't the story behind Double N Dan.
I don't... It's the IRC.
So IRC, no show notes.
Yeah. This is 800.
Are you titling 800? The episodes, or it's just the number?
No, I title the episodes. No, I did the pro. Okay, so here's the problem with that, right? I would title all the episodes and everything, and put everybody that was on the show, and I put all that stuff in the ID3 tags and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when I uploaded them to archive.org, it cut out like 90% of it.
Oh.
So I was like, well, why am I going to, you know, what's the point? I might as well just put the title of the show is, you know, the number, and then just.
All right. So 803, you have a single board laptops, piss poor design, expensive. It's not the true story of Double N Dan.
Oh, you mean in the RSS feed?
Yeah, yeah, it should be.
You know what? The thing is, when I type out the RSS feed, I forget half the time what we talked about. Like, I don't remember what we talked about on the show.
So Greybeard's asking, what are the show notes you speak of? So if you go through the RSS page on tilts.org, and if you pick an episode, there sometimes are show notes.
Yeah, there used to be. I was putting up some show notes as I was going along, but for like a lot of times, it was, you know, what was in the show notes were just links and stuff that we had, but they were all in the chat log, and I'm like, why am I doubling the effort? Let them read the chat log.
Well, I mean, I think the key is that Tilt is as low effort as possible, right?
It does end up that.
Oh, Greybeard saying what chat log?
Well, now there's so many different chats.
Yeah, I know. That's another problem right there. I'm like, oh, we got the MeWe, we got the Discord, and the IRC.
Dude, IRC. This is Linux Link Tech Show. You go IRC. That's how it is.
Oh, well, that's one I get. I give, you know, that's. Well, there's also the Mumble Chat, too, that Joel likes to post stuff in.
Yeah, but the Mumble Chat is, like, for us.
Sure, that's what I always used to use that as.
I gotta get the streaming back up again. I mean, it's there.
Yeah, somebody sent an email to my Mintcast account asking about the live stream.
I mean, the live stream is there. It's just the mirror is gone. The main mirror, which everything connected to. Oh, wait, no, it didn't connect to it. It's, the mirror was what we sent everybody. I gotta get that all fixed up again.
You know the Raspberry Pi?
Oh, yeah, it's not.
I'm teasing.
It's all working. It's just that we didn't want people connecting to this account, the mainstream, because then it would just suck up bandwidth when we had another mirror. So this main one was pushing out to the mirror. And everybody was connecting to the mirrors.
Hey.
Alright. I'm gonna get that all fixed.
Oh my gosh, it's 8:45.
I know. I was waiting for Joel to show up, but that's a lost cause. Alright, Peggy, whip out those lips of yours and put them around the tip of the head of that dirigidoo. Put that tongue in that hole and get ready to blow.